Welcome to a special edition of the Commander and Podcast, everyone. I'm Phil DeLuca.
I'm Nate Burgess.
And we are Commander In. Thanks for listening. In this special episode, we're going to bring you a brand new Encyclopedia Commanderica, followed by our contest results. We hope you enjoy the show, and let us know all about it on Twitter at CommanderInMTG and an email at cast@CommanderInMTG.com. And, of course, on our Facebook page, Commander and MTG, and on the EDH subreddit.
And YouTube!
That's right, and YouTube. Let's go right into the encyclopedia, which Nate and Sean recorded earlier and did a fantastic job with.
Yeah, we did.
And then we'll come back to announce the winners of our contest.
Let's go!
Welcome to Encyclopedia Commanderica, the segment where we go to the Gatherer website and click random card over and over, and then we talk about how we would or would not use those cards in Commander.
Eventually, after the heat death of our solar system and the gravitational decay of our known universe, we would have talked about every single Magic the Gathering card in a Commander context. Episode 2, Card 1, Jeskai Elder.
One colorless, one blue, creature, human, monk, 1/2. It's got prowess. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, this creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn. And whenever Jeskai Elder deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card.
So this was an uncommon card from Kanzatok here. It's an interesting card. Looting is always a nice ability. Prowess, which is at this point in time a keyword for blue and red creatures, is pretty good. But does it do enough in a Commander game, Nate?
I'm not sold on prowess as an effective keyword in full Commander. On one hand, you have tiny leaders with 25 life and 1/1 Shu Yun the Silent Tempest. Okay, sure. But on the other hand, if you have multiple opponents who have 40 life, it seems like prowess requires a storm approach, and maybe with some spell mastery keyword gravy from the new Origins cards.
I think there is a prowess deck out there that this card would probably fit into for Commander, and I think Shu Yun it would be the Commander for that deck. But I think it's very specific. I think you're going to be looking at tutoring out, which would be... Well, you got white, so actually you can get a crazy. Things like Jeskai Ascendancy and stuff, that prowess is your whole team rather than just the one guy. And then if you've got prowess as well on top of your guys, it'll be double-clicking. It'll have to be hyper-aggressive.
Yeah, I have Phil's notes here. I could read them. As a small saboteur, not a very good one at that, Jeskai Elder has no place in Commander, so says Phil DeLuca.
Phil DeLuca. So, I think I agree with Phil. If this did its loot effect when it attacked rather than when it dealt combat damage, you might see it. It's probably worth it in a pauper deck or a budget deck. I forget which one can run in commons.
Right.
Yeah, it's not much more. One thing to say about it is it's one of the kick-ass pieces of art which shows a kung fu old lady. Didn't see too many of them.
Yeah, is that... And she's got a multi-segmented whip staff there.
You do.
Whip chain.
You do, martial arts, Nate. What's that weapon properly called? You must know.
Oh, well, with the extra chain and the pointy hook at the end, well, the barb at the end, that makes it a different thing. It would normally just be a segmented staff, but the extra chain and barb, like the devil's tail at the end, makes it something else. I don't know.
I'm going to name it Super Mega Nunchucks with added plus.
All right. Jeskai Nunchucks.
Jesk Chucks. So, moving on. Card number 2. I'll read this one. Cloud Crusader. This is a creature, a human knight. White creature for 2/2 white. It's a 2/3 flying first strike.
Meh. It's got sweet art, though.
It does have
the art on the card is pretty sweet, because it's got like this griffin, and there's a dude on the back of the griffin with a giant glowing sword and a big cloak cape coming out behind him to mimic the griffin's wings. So that looks pretty pretty formidable there.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the keyword formidable.
No. Yeah, eventually there will come a point where all words are keywords. We can have whole conversations just with keywords.
Yeah, we can't describe cards anymore.
Yeah, we'll be just done. It's not a commander card, really, is it? I mean, you'd run this if you were looking for some sort of Airstrike theme deck or a budget flyers deck, but yeah, 4 mana for a 2/3 flyer is not great, even with First Strike.
Yeah, Phil says it's a small, expensive feeling flying First Striker. Sky Hunter Patrol is cooler, so says Phil DeLuca.
I don't know what Sky Hunter Patrol does, but I'm going to trust Mr. DeLuca there. So, moving swiftly on, card 3.
Karplusen Forest. It's a land. Tap it to add 1 colorless to your mana pool, or tap it to add red or green to your mana pool, and Karplusen Forest deals 1 damage to you.
The first of our pain lands, says it's like
pain.
It's a cycle of 10 of these for each of the paired colors. So we might as well talk about all of them. They're not your first choice go-to for a dual land, but they're also not the worst in the world, because you'll find, well, personally, I find after sort of turn 5 or 6, you'll never tap them for their colored mana unless you're desperate. You'll just tap them for the 1 colorless and not take the 1 damage.
In a lot of cases, yeah. I don't know what commanders would especially use this red-green version. I think the pain lands are acceptable.
Yeah.
My Marquesa, and she has Dethrone, so it's important who has the highest life total at the table, and it's important that it's not you. So my Marquesa uses the blue-red Shivan Reef, the red-black Sulphurous Springs, and the blue-black Underground River. And I use the self-regulated 1 point of life loss to keep myself off the throne.
Mm.
So it's useful in Marquesa for that specific 1 point of life
loss. You also run like City of Brass and Mana Confluence as well.
Yep.
So there you go, turning a downside into an upside. Yeah, they're fine. They're better than a Guild Gate. And they don't enter the battlefield tapped, which is very nice, which we should mention. The downside of a lot of dual lands, especially ones not printed at rare, is at the end of the battlefield tapped.
Yeah, this doesn't come in tapped, and that makes it a lot better, in my opinion.
And people run the shock lands from Ravnica blocks, and they'll pay 2 life to play that untapped. So, I mean, you only have to use this twice, and then it's done the same amount of damage as a shock land to you, and it doesn't come in untapped at all. It doesn't come in tapped at all, so it's very good. They're okay. You can pick them up super cheap at the moment as well, because they're in Origins.
All right.
Yeah.
So Phil says that pain lands are better than many lands that produce 2 or more colors, but most of the time we're not in a rush to play those colors. If we are, we really need the flexibility in, say, 5 colors, and we are probably using City of Brass or Mana Confluence. So says Phil DeLuca.
So says Phil DeLuca. Card number 4. Archetype of Courage. It's a 1/2 white for a white enchantment creature, human soldier, 2/2. Creatures you control have first strike. Creatures your opponent control lose first strike and cannot have or gain first strike. Very nice. I've run this before several times.
Yeah, this is the best card so far today.
Certainly.
Well, it's an enchantment creature in white, so my Earl the Mistalker uses it, since it has combat benefits that affect the entire board. And also, the Ural deck has a general synergy with enchantments. You might use this in Hannah Ship's Navigator. Maybe Xur the Enchanter could use this too. Phil says, in very aggressive white decks, this card is essential. All of the archetypes have a home in Commander, because they not only give your team a special ability, but they rob it from your opponent's team. And there is a cycle of archetype of whatever in each color.
There's the paragons, the colors, they get the paragons and the archetypes. They were cycles from the Theros block. So this one gives first strike. First strike's not the world's most used ability, but you'll be amazed how annoying it is when your whole team gets it and your opponent can't have it. And it makes blocking, if it's your archetype of courage, it makes blocking your creatures much trickier for your opponent. Suddenly stuff which would have traded is now one-sided in your favor, and it can go the other way as well. Suddenly stuff which you would have killed Oh, so your stuff that would have died will kill your opponent's creatures instead because of the first strike.
Yeah, and he's only 3 mana.
3 mana. See, the green archetype's 8 mana. So they really vary in what they think. I use the blue one a lot in decks, but we'll talk about that when we inevitably get to it in 2027.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, moving along. Card 5.
Linessa, Zephyr Mage. 3 colorless and 1 blue. Legendary creature, human wizard. It's a 3/3. This might be the first legendary creature we've seen.
It is the first legendary creature.
Encyclopedia Commandrica. Oh, well.
How appropriate.
She's got an ability. You pay X and 2 blue and tap. Return target creature with converted mana cost X to its owner's hand. And there's another keyword here. Grandeur. All right. Discard another card named Linessa Zephyr Mage. And does it matter? Does the rest of this matter? It's a singleton format. Grandeur doesn't matter unless your Shadowborn Apostles have grandeur.
Yeah, so... yeah, grandeur is impossible to use on this card. On most cards. It was a Future Sight mechanics. It's only on a few cards. There's a dragon and a couple of bits and bobs that do it. So let's ignore that and look at what she is. So she's 4 mana for a 3/3 that you can pay 2 blue and X tapper to bounce an opponent's creature. It's not terrible.
It's mana hungry. And it's only mildly effective because there's going to be more creatures and bigger creatures than this one character can handle. You got to pay the mana cost of what you're sending back, and you're paying more.
I'd be tempted to look at her less aggressively, put her in your own deck where you want to flicker things, and use it to bounce your own stuff back to your hand.
Huh.
That's how I would use it. And only target your opponent's stuff as a defensive measure. I mean, she's all right in a draw go deck. What we mean by that, listeners, is normally blue, but a deck that uses a lot of flash or instance or counter spells, where you draw a spell, pass a turn to your next player, and then do most of your actions outside of attacking in your last opponent's end step. She's not without worth. What does the Thrashing Grumpus say about it?
Phil says, a repeatable creature-based repeal on a stick without card draw? Maybe. My first response was, who the heck is this? So, probably not. Grandeur is funny. So says Phil DeLuca.
Yeah. Yeah. First time I saw it when we were looking at the card image art for this list was, what the hell is that? So, tells you everything you need to know. I think I agree with Phil on that. Anyway, moving swiftly along. Card number 6. Now, this is our first mythic card. Very powerful, this one. This card is Planes.
Wait, what?
Planes.
Planes,
so,
okay.
Some of you might not know, Planes is a basic land Planes. So you can tap it to add 1 white mana to your mana pool.
I think this is an auto-include for any white deck.
Ooh, I don't know. If you think about it, like it's not optimal, is it?
Well, it might not be the best white mana producing land, but you're probably going to have more than one.
I mean, I won't lie, I've comboed this card before with some other planes to cast an Elesh Norn. That was a good card. But there are other ways of...
Yeah, you need a few planes to do
There's other ways of casting Elesh Norn, so planes wasn't an essential part of the combo.
Well, it helps. It helps a lot.
I suppose. I don't think it's a commander viable card, planes.
Really? Really? Well, Phil says that it's a solid C, maybe B. In Commander, this is the white mana producing land you use when you are out of better options or running mono white. So says Phil DeLuca.
I can't tell whether Phil's giving it a serious grade or not. He sounds serious. On a serious note, in my meta, my paper meta, should I say, people run shite like Wave of Vitriol and stuff that punishes you for having too many non-basic lands. So I don't forget non-basic lands, kids. They're effective. Anyway, what else can we say about planes other than it's planes?
It's planes. Yep.
Card number 7.
Aetherstorm. 3 colorless and 1 blue enchantment.
No summon spells may be cast. This is old. That means no creature spells may be cast. Any player may pay for life to bury Aether Storm.
Bury means destroy, and it cannot be regenerated. Which is really good for an enchantment.
Don't regenerate that enchantment there. Effects that prevent or redirect damage cannot be used to counter this loss of life.
I own one of these. I had it in a random folder.
One of them.
So I put it in every blue deck I run.
No, you
so
don't.
It's basically a blue control deck spell that says, pay sorcery, pay 3 and a blue to deal 1 random player 4 life, 4 damage. Woo!
It's a blue burn spell.
Kinda. It's random, because it's whoever's annoyed enough to bother paying the 4 life. So you can't even...
Yeah, whoever's got a big Elesh Norn in their hand and wants to do something about it.
Well, if they've got Elesh Norn, they're running planes, aren't they? Let's not get stuck on this again. What does the Grumpus say about it?
Phil says it's useful in a blue control deck that cheats out or uses no creatures and can recur enchantments. And even then, this is basically an expensive super bolt, not counting the cost of recursion. So says Phil DeLuca.
Yeah, I'm going to argue with Phil and say it's not useful in a blue control deck. This card is, aww, I'm giving this an E. E.
E.
E for effing awful. Yeah, terrible. Let's move Sophia along. Creature, not creature, God's sake. Card number 8. Pincher Beetles. 2 and a green for a 3-1 creature with Shroud. It's obviously a green creature insect, obviously. I like this card.
If I was doing insect tribal, then I might put him in there.
It's in green, though. It's got Shroud. It's a good... 3 mana's all right for a 3-1 with Shroud, isn't it? I'm not saying it's necessarily viable, and certainly not your go-to choice for a green 3-drop, but it's not awful.
I would save it for... I don't know what commander I would use for Insect Tribal, but if I was making an Insect Tribal deck, that's when I would look at this card.
I would use Yosan Wandering Bard. He's the guy that...
All right, I'll check him out.
Only because on the artwork, it's a guy playing a flute to a big centipede, and that is as awesome as it sounds. Yeah. What does Phil say about this card?
Nothing.
He's too busy frothing at the mouth because he loves green cards that much. And this is our first green card today.
No, that's the end of his notes.
So. Oh, well, you know, he's going to miss out on the last 2 cards as well. So,
nothing more from Phil DeLuca.
Nothing more from the Thrashing Grumpus. Card number 9.
Goblin Caves. 1 colorless, 2 red. Enchant land?
What?
If target land is a basic mountain, all goblins gain +2 toughness.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Red toughness buffing. You see loads of that. You must run this card in a certain deck I know of, Nate.
I've tried this. My Krenko used to run this, but I discovered that I don't really care that much about goblin toughness.
No, not a key aspect of their being toughness. It's
I don't care enough about their toughness to put this card in the deck, in the 100 cards that I need.
I like this card from a perspective of it's very old. It was originally printed in the dark. The artwork is cool. It's like a strange, surreal Francis Bacon watercolor of a hole in the side of a mountain with 2 little gnome things looking out. I guess they're meant to be goblins, but they're pink, and one of them looks like he might be wearing a little hat. And it feels, I doubt it was back then in the day, but it feels very top-downy, like they've gone, it's a home for goblins, so it has to go in mountains, because they're the signature red creature, and what would having a mountain stronghold do for them? It would boost their toughness, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the flavor is good. The flavor of the card is accurate. It fits, but I'd rather have other cards.
I'd rather have literally any other card.
I'd rather have something that gives my goblins +1/+1 than +0/+2.
Yeah, if your goblin decks were needing a defense boost, it's probably doing something wrong anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, that just means you don't have enough goblins.
And to finish chapter 2 of Encyclopedia Commandica, card number 10, Flowstone Embrace. So this is a red enchantment aura for one and a red enchant creature. Tap the Flowstone Embrace. Enchanted creature gets +2/-2 until end of turn. I don't understand why. I suppose it's so you can kick the damage of pump and drain. It's because I don't understand why it's not just a permanent +2/-2. But
well, it makes it optional, like that golem that goes from 4/4 to 0/8 conditionally. But this one, you actually tap the enchantment. You don't tap the creature, and that's kind of a weird thing to see. Yeah. Tapping the enchantment.
Yeah, so remember, if you have attached cards, so auras or equipment, onto your creatures, and your creature attacks or taps for any reason, it doesn't tap the permanents attached to it. An important
distinction. Yeah, so maybe Red Voltron Commanders, I might put it on Orioles' maybe board.
There are better auras, though.
Well, yeah, and they're already in the deck.
I'm going to give this a D.
Yeah.
That's weird that Gatherer gave us not one, but two cards from Future Sight today. Strange. So that concludes... Bleep!
He said nothing.
He said... Oh, we've got a special note from Phil here. It says, I submit to Phyrexia. I admit it. I love it. Fill me with that glistening oil as fast as I can get it into me. All hail Sheldred.
Yeah. Let me see the handwriting on that.
Let me just turn that over. There you go. He says, I have written this using my left hand, so my handwriting may not look like my normal handwriting.
Right. That explains it. Okay. Yeah. I believe it.
So, next time on Encyclopedia Commandica, 10 more random cards. Bet you can't wait.
Mm-mm.
And that show. Yeah, that was all right.
Wow, Nate, you and Sean did an excellent job.
Jolly good show.
I really like learning stuff with you guys, especially from random cards.
Random cards.
Random cards. Speaking of random cards, how about we talk about the results of our first ever contest?
Oh, cool.
Just as a reminder, we had my daughter, Jessica, open a pack of Origins cards, and then... in her own terms, describe the mana cost. She's been doing this with me for a couple of years now, and so she's developed her own little language for the different mana costs. And then I also asked her to describe the artwork on it. So you're hearing the description from an 8-year-old girl. Nate, did you try your hand at the contest?
Yeah, just to see how I did. I think, what did I get, like 14?
Yeah,
I missed the ruins and the wolves.
So out of the 15 cards, you actually had a score of 13. I admit, if I wasn't following closely, I would have gotten the wolves wrong too. Let's name the cards using their actual names from that Wizards of the Coast has granted them, and then we'll select our 4 pack winners, selected randomly from all of those who entered the contest and qualified for it, which means they got 10 or more correct, and we had a lot of contest entrants. And then we selected one winner at random from among the 10 entrants who actually got all 15 cards correct. So, Nate, you're going to describe the cards using Jessica's words.
I'll paraphrase.
Okay, so Nate, why don't you describe the first card paraphrasing Jessica's description?
All right, after I use my words, summoning ghost arms.
Healing hands.
Warrior not showing his front with a knife.
Infernal scarring.
Something, it's disturbing, it's got a tongue with claws.
Indeed it does. Vastwood Gorger.
Blue guy holding an amulet.
Artificer's Epiphany.
Soldiers.
Heavy Infantry.
Golden Pet.
Bonded Construct.
There's a pig with spikes. Is that it? Something with spikes. A boar. A prickly boar, maybe?
Prickle boar.
There you go.
And Nate, a lot of people got hung up on that one. They thought it was Cobble Brute.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Guy turning into smoke.
Reeve Soul.
Fairy.
And that one, everyone got. The Fairy Miscreant.
Mm-hmm. Wolves.
Wolves?
Wolves.
This one was really tricky, and I think everybody who did not get all 15 correct actually got this one wrong.
Hmm.
Or nearly so. The trick here is to understand that when you're opening a pack, and she was reading the pack from the front to the back, there are either 9 or 10 common cards. And so listening through the entire list, there was no foil card, which means that this, the 10th slot, was a common card. And so Wolf's was actually Llanowar Empath.
Hmm. That's some sneaky inside knowledge.
That's tricky.
I didn't know about that. I don't know how packs work.
Yes, you tend to stay away from packs, having gone straight into single purchases.
Mm-hmm. Electricity to robots.
Girapur Aether Grid.
Mm-hmm. Is it Aether or Aether?
It's Aether.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I won't sneer at anybody who says Aether. And I guess it's really kind of ambiguous, but I think it's intended to be Aether.
Well, whichever one we say, Sean will say it's the other one.
Yeah.
Or else he'll say it's something else.
Yeah.
Golden Lamb with Wings.
Oh, the Gold Forged Sentinel.
A book that costs cheaper than it should.
Yeah, and this one was a freebie because she incorrectly stated 3 ghost pieces as the casting cost.
It's 4 ghost pieces.
It's 4 ghost pieces, yes. And this one is the JMD Tome.
Mm.
This one is the JMD Tome, named after James Michael Davis, the first VP of R&D, I believe, or an early VP of R&D at Wizards of the Coast.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ruins, Castle Ruins.
Ah, this one. This one also confused a couple of people, and the correct answer is Relic Seeker.
Hmm. Fire Mountain Land.
That is a basic mountain.
All right. And an ad card.
And Yay. An ad card. Yay. By now, you probably realize how well you've done, oh listener. And what we're going to do now is announce, it was difficult to select only 4. We had to figure out a way to randomly generate 4 from this large list, but we did it. And we have our 4 winners. Nate, do you want to announce them?
Russell Lee, Joshua Rose, Thomas Ward, Robert Adkins.
Congratulations to our pack winners. We'll be in touch with you directly in order to get your physical address, because I have to send you a pack of Origins cards. Congratulations again, everybody. Now, Nate, we have a very special winner. Of all of the entrants, 10 of them managed to get all 15 correct.
Wow.
Yes. One of these lucky 10 people will get a Commander and playmat.
A pack and a mat.
Oh, yes, a pack and a playmat. I would not want to shortchange anybody. One of these 10 people is a special winner. Who is that winner?
Nathan Waldorf. Nice name. Nice name.
Congratulations, Nathan. We'll be sending you a playmat and a pack. Shortly, I'll be in touch with you to get your address. And congratulations, and everybody, thank you for entering the contest, and especially for listening. It was so many of you had such nice things to say as along with your contest entry, and it is so nice to read that. So thank you, and please feel free to drop us a line anytime, asking us a question or giving us feedback. And again, all of those ways to contact us are on Twitter. It's at CommanderInMTG. Our website is CommanderInMTG.com. You can find us on YouTube as well. Let's not forget that ever again. If you just search for CommanderInMTG, there's got to be a better way to do that.
Well, we can have a link to the playlist.
That's true. We can do that. We're also on Reddit as CommanderInMTG, and we post in the EDH subreddit. Our Facebook page
Commander and MTG Podcast.
Woohoo! All right. Nate, you want to say bye to our listeners? For now.
Bye to our listeners, for now. Go ahead, you can keep talking.